It's episode 194 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, we'll be discussing the final Fox X-Men film, Dark Phoenix.
Thank God.
And possibly Good Omens? Okay. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com or on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com. Or look for us on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe. Or head over to Facebook, search for the Hodgepodge Podcast, and like our page.
This movie wasn't a good omen.
No. Yeah, so Dark Phoenix came out last week. Did not win the box office, which is shocking.
Got a lot of bad press.
It did. It got a lot of bad reviews. Secret Life of Pets 2 won the box office. And even that,
which is weird because that didn't even...
No, it didn't light the world on fire either. Movie news.
58 million to go.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I may go see it tomorrow.
57,999,000
How much money...
$88 to go.
How much money does... Booksmart have to make to reach Avatar?
A lot.
$2 billion.
Yeah. Basically $2 billion.
At least. Go see Booksmart. They're pulling it out of theaters. Damn it, people. I can only do so much. Yeah, Avengers is still closing in on Avatar. I wonder if they'll leave it in the theater just to see if it'll make it.
That's what I hope they do. I really hope they do. Hope it's there till Christmas.
It won't be, because the DVD will come out in... Sorry, DVD's going to come out in September, probably.
Shut up.
Wow, you shut up. Yeah. So Secret Life of Pets 2 was number one at the box office. X-Men was 2. What was 3? Godzilla? Something like that?
Probably.
Ow. That hurt. What else is going on? Movie wise,
nothing. No. You can think all you want, but there's really nothing going on.
Well, Justin Bieber challenged Tom Cruise to
I guess that's
MMA fight.
Entertainment news. I guess I don't quite understand.
It's called drugs. The kid's on drugs, clearly, and they're going to be calling Selena Gomez in to talk to him soon.
That's the other disappointing news, that the Dead Don't Die is not getting...
Yeah, Dead Don't Die, Jim Jarmusch's new film, is supposed to come out this week. It's not getting great reviews, and the trailer looks hilarious, so it's been kind of a disappointing summer for the most part. I mean, Avengers was great, Booksmart was great, but everything else has been kind of meh, or bad. And these are all movies, like Godzilla we thought was going to be great, and...
That was not...
X-Men, I was hoping for the best, but expecting the worst, but it's still bad.
Expectations exceeded.
Not as bad as Apocalypse for me, though. Apocalypse was really, really bad. I mean, at least I could see the villain's face in this, and it's like I can see Magneto's face, and, know what's going on. Yeah, but everything else has been just kind of bland.
He wasn't the villain.
Well, whatever. He always ends up being the villain eventually. Whether he likes it or not.
He's just a chess mate of Charles.
That's right.
That's all.
I saw Good Omens this weekend. We can talk about that. And Dirty A finally started his journey that Matt and I have been begging him to take for 6 years almost now.
Yeah, one season into The Wire.
Yay!
It's literally about The Wire. I did not expect that. It literally, the whole season was about The Wire.
It was. Yeah. That's right. All right, let's.
I mean, yeah, that's that even season one is probably the most in depth police procedural I've ever seen.
I mean, it
goes deep into what goes into all that stuff.
The biggest thing about The Wire, and obviously we can have a whole episode about it when you finish it. But the biggest thing about The Wire for me, when I watched it, was it showed me just how racist Hollywood really is. Because you have all these great black actors. Now these people are getting roles now, but this is back in the early 2000s. And I'm just like, how are all these great actors not getting roles? Oh, Hollywood's racist, basically. So, if you've never watched The Wire, do yourself a favor, watch The Wire. And Dirty A, when I move on to season two, like Matt said, slog through it.
The worst of the bunch?
The final season's actually probably the worst. I like the second season, but it is completely different. It's completely different. It has elements of the first season in it, but it's mostly a different... It's a different case.
Lester's my man.
Yeah, Lester. Well, Lester's in it.
He's my man.
Yeah, but Lester's awesome. Clark Peters.
He's a cliche character.
You leave him alone.
He's more or less whittling in the corner. And then like...
Do you know how much money he makes on those things?
And then, like, you know, has, you know, says something very... poignant, and everyone's like, "Oh, look, where'd you come from?"
I thought you were just a hack, just trying to run out of your retirement. Yeah, that's what they all think about me, Lester Freeman, and the bunk. Did they have the scene in that one where they go to the house with the measuring tape?
Mm-hmm.
The motherfucker.
Yeah, motherfucker. Dude, I bet a message over that. It's just a bunch of fucks.
Fuck me.
Motherfucker.
That's a great season. That's a great fucking episode.
It's like, what's going on here? 3 minutes of fucks and motherfuckers.
They're the best. Yeah, we'll talk about The Wire more in depth when you finish watching the whole thing, which should be in about, you know, September. Because it's a long series. It's only 5 seasons. The fifth season is shorter, but the rest of them are all 13 episodes, basically.
Oof.
Well, I mean, don't try and finish them in a weekend.
Oof, that was rough.
I mean, I finished Good Omens, but
I didn't try.
That wasn't even 6 hours.
It just happened, but it was. I had to take some breaks.
Yeah.
Some water breaks.
Yeah. It's. And it's some heavy material, too. All right. Let's stick this porker and talk about Dark Phoenix. Fox's latest attempt to ruin the greatest X-Men story ever told in the comic books. God. The problem with this movie, ultimately, is that you don't go get one of the guys that fucked it up the first time to fix it.
why did you... I don't know why they thought that. I mean, did they think it went well the first time around? No. They were like, hey, here we go.
No.
Like, why would they do that? I don't understand.
This
movie...
It's
clear he has no care for the material.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he said all the right things in the interviews, but it's just... It's not good. And I'm just... And I don't know why... Like, if you're gonna go... If you're gonna... Dark Phoenix is...
Don't cry.
The story is based on... this story is loosely based on the comic books that were done by Chris Claremont, who wrote X-Men and Uncanny X-Men for like 16 years straight in the 70s and 80s, going into the 90s. And John Byrne, who was... a key artist on that thing, on X-Men. He also rebooted Superman after Crisis at DC, and he also had a really significant run on Fantastic Four. Don't be surprised if when Marvel finally does a Fantastic Four movie, it might come from John Byrne's stuff. But they were probably one of the greatest duos in comic book history, Claremont and Byrne, and they had a great run of issues of X-Men.
Sounds like a law firm.
Claremont and Byrne. Did you get injured? We'll help you get money.
Call Claremont and Byrne.
So the way it works in the comic book is that Jean Grey, the X-Men get it actually has to do with Stephen Lang. Or was it Stephen Trask? No, it's Stephen Lang.
Who's Stephen Lang?
Stephen Lang. And he's like with the Sentinels and stuff like that. And the X-Men, he captures the X-Men. And then they end up on this space station. And then the X-Men have to escape. And
he's with the government? Who's Stephen?
No, Lang? No. He's just a guy. He's a anti-mutant guy he's
mercenary.
Yeah. Well, no, he's in charge. He's got like the Sentinels. Like I think the Sentinels were his at that point. Oh, Bolivar Trask created the Sentinels, but then he was
sold them all from.
Yeah, whatever. He was running them or whatever.
He owned
the
business at that point.
So, he has the X-Men captured, and then they escape. But to get out, they have to have they got to get on this shuttle. And what happens is there's like these cosmic rays or whatever coming towards the space station, and Jean Grey she's like, I'm the only one who will survive. So she seals the X-Men in the back of the shuttle, and then she gets penetrated with
which makes sense.
Right. And then so she actually does it to save the X-Men, not rando jerk-off who couldn't be bothered to get his ass to the place so they could teleport him out like they do in the movie. So
yeah, why is that guy just down there doing his own thing, like not aware?
He's jerking off. He's like, I got to do one more jerk off in space.
Like I hate to be, you know, they would know that there is a
rescue attempt coming.
Right. And like,
yeah. So and then what happens in the comic is that Jean Grey goes from Marvel Girl to becoming Phoenix, which is an entirely her power grows exponentially.
And does it though, or does it just
at once
just appear? I'm talking about this movie.
Oh, right. Yeah. So it grows. Her power grows exponentially, and she basically becomes Phoenix. Then what happens is throughout the course of like it must have been like 2 years of issues, you know, maybe even three. Like she goes slowly from Phoenix, and then they fight the Hellfire Club. And they've basically infiltrated her mind, and then they corrupt her, and then she becomes when the X-Men defeat the Hellfire Club, but at that minute she becomes the Dark Phoenix.
And that's where this movie's first most egregious thing,
right?
Is the timeline that they
this
try
movie
to
does?
Portray.
Yeah, this movie does the Ultron.
It's a fucking in a day.
Yeah, this movie does the Ultron, where like she all of a sudden is like instantly evil.
She has these. She goes through a within a 24-hour period. She goes through a full existential crisis on who she is. And you know, should she give in to her impulses?
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And unless I don't even know why. Like they,
yeah.
If anything, they could have just, you know, put on the screen 2 years later.
Not just that, but it also ignores what happened at the end of Apocalypse. Because she uses the Phoenix Force at the end of Apocalypse.
It was already there.
Right. And that's the other thing, too, is that... Now, this may be something that they... I don't think it's something that they retconned later, because throughout the years in the comic books, the Phoenix Force has been a thing. It's not something that's inside her. It just chose her.
Right. She was a conduit.
Right. She was a conduit for this power. But the X-Men movies are hell-bent on making it...
Her.
It's her. Right. And it's like, no, it's not her. Right. And the thing is, now, I can understand why Singer did that, because he had to do basically like the stripped down X-Men. But if you're actually going to go into space and have the fucking Force, invade her body and stuff like that, then you might as well just go all the fucking way with it. But then again, like I said, in Apocalypse, they fucked the pooch on that too, because they kept it like, oh, it's inside her already. It's like, what? Anyway, so... That's how it goes in the comic books. And it was like this celebrated story. And then the reason why it's also celebrated is because at the end, Jean Grey dies. Marvel took that risk. And they said, no, we're going to kill her. Because what happens was she absorbs a sun at some point somewhere in the galaxy. And then basically that destroys an inhabited planet. So she kills billions of people.
She
kills one guy. And then she's having the crisis of her life.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Honestly, she's having the crisis of her life before she even kills anyone. She's
right.
Like, pushes some people down.
Yeah,
she's like, oh my God, you've got to stop me from hurting everyone that I love. It's like, I've never seen you be friends with Dazzler before.
I made Dazzler stop singing my favorite song.
Right. Like, what?
Dazzler is in this for a brief cameo, and it is not Taylor Swift.
She dazzles.
It was so funny because this movie is supposedly set in the 90s for some reason. And but they got 70s Dazzler. Like, she looks like Dazzler from the 70s. It's so stupid.
It was like a hippie commune out there.
It was. It was. It was weird. I thought that when they first cut to that, I thought it was going to be Jessica Chastain, like, her people getting these people that were camping or something nearby. Nope. No. It just cut without warning back to the X-Men. I was like, what's going on?
Well,
anyway, so what happens in this movie is that the X-Men are called by the president, who has his very own X-phone. Yeah, that's a thing. It's so fucking stupid. And it's
got a big giant X on it.
It's got a big giant X on it and no buttons. And at least the Batphone had like one button
tring,
on
tring.
It. Yeah. So the president calls the X-Men on his X-phone, and the X-Men go into space to save these astronauts because their shuttle is their shuttle is fucked up, basically. The X-Men go into space, and Cyclops has his own little telescope that shoots his beams out, which is dumb as fuck.
That was so dumb.
That's like a toy that they tried to sell or something. Storm uses her weather powers to create ice on the ship in space!
In an atmosphere where you can't have weather.
Well, there's no atmosphere. Space is just a vacuum. Oh my God! So, already this movie's batting 1,000. Like, 5 minutes into the movie, it's batting 1,000. They save the astronauts, but there's one guy who's jerking off in the corner, so they had to go back and get him. And Jean, Star Trek? They always had like the energy blob, you know. Star Trek the original series always had some energy blob they had to fight. The energy blob penetrates Jean, and
which by the way, the way they do that's stupid too, because the way they get the first people.
Mm-hmm.
Is that they allow Quicksilver to go in with them, so he could real quickly get them unfastened while
Nightcrawler
transports them back.
Mm-hmm.
Arguably the time where you don't need him because they're all in one place.
Right.
And the time where they don't know where the person is, they're like, we're going to leave Nightcrawler here.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that?
Quicksilver.
Sorry. What? Yeah, Quicksilver. He could have found the guy in a heartbeat. And fix this problem. You didn't even need a Jean Grey.
Yeah.
Really dumb.
Yeah, really, really dumb. So, X-Men go back, and she's fine, but then she starts having surges in her power, and then she basically turns evil.
That's it.
That's about how fast it goes. What you find out is that Professor Xavier...
mind-raped her.
No, blocked off her memory of trauma. And this is the other thing, too. It's like, I hate when these movie filmmakers start saying, oh, we're going to go back to the source material and we're going to do this. No, what happens to Jean Grey when she's a little girl, her powers manifest when her friend, I think her name's Annie, gets hit by a car. And as Annie dies, Jean's powers, her telepathy... ignites, and then she can feel the lights go out basically in her mind as her friend dies. Not this Jean Grey. This Jean Grey basically killed her mother by accident or whatever because reasons. Whereas with Phoenix,
she made her like fall asleep.
Yeah, behind the wheel while she was driving. Whereas with Phoenix, which is very Shazam too, by the way, it's a little reminiscent of Shazam. Meanwhile, in the comic book, it's important that Jean's parents are loving and there for her because they're basically her anchor to her humanity when she starts becoming Dark Phoenix. But whatever. What the fuck do I know? Not this time. Because her father, turns out he's alive. Spoiler alert. Of course, he became an anti-mutant piece of shit and didn't want his daughter back. And that's what Professor Xavier was actually trying to protect her from. So, suddenly, Xavier's not such a bad guy. I was trying to protect you from the fact that your father's an asshole and didn't want you anymore. And then she goes and Jessica Chastain kills her. Jessica Chastain's character is not Lilandra of the Shi'ar Empire, which is what it should be. From the comic books, she's some other character that was in X-Men lore or Fantastic Four, wherever. But they're basically, her race of aliens are essentially the Skrulls, and they take the form of other people, and then they're trying to get the Phoenix Force for themselves. Magneto has his own island where the mutants are, which is supposed to be Genosha, but it's a weak Genosha, basically.
It's stupid.
It's just, I mean, it's like, everything is just a pale imitation of what's in the comic books.
Like, look, I'm not saying that they would be living in luxury, but they're not going to live in fucking cargo containers.
Yeah, fucking shanty towns.
the fucker at the end of Apocalypse rebuilt entire cities.
Yeah, right. Not in this one.
And this one, he's like, this will do.
Yeah, this will do just fine.
You take this container, I'll take that one.
Welcome to my shanty town, Charles. Once again, these movies have like no fucking continuity whatsoever. These last four X-Men movies. Because they've gone from the 60s all the way to the 90s, and not one person's aged a fucking day. It's ridiculous. I turned to Dirty A in the middle of the movie. I said, hey, for Magneto pushing 60 at this point, he's looking really good. I mean, not a spot of gray in his hair.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, too, that if you think about it, they made this point on Red Letter Media. I watched their review, and they were like, yeah, what you have to remember is that in about 10 to 12 years from now, Michael Fassbender is going to look like Ian McKellen. That's a real hard 12 years he's going to have to live to get to Ian McKellen.
It's like, reminds me of What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
I was turned when I was 16. It was different back then.
Yeah, the movie is just, like, the movie has some good scenes in it. There's some good action scenes and stuff like that. Especially the guy who fights with his dreadlocks. He was awesome. I don't understand, it blows my mind that you just had a movie in Apocalypse where you completely wasted the character of Psylocke. You had Olivia Munn, who looks exactly like her, fully embodies the character. Completely wasted her. She was a complete waste. She had maybe 5 lines. Then Magneto has a telepath in his team that has purple hair. She's a purple crew cut. Why didn't you just fucking make it Psylocke? It would have made sense because they were both the horsemen of the apocalypse and stuff like that. It would have made sense if she went with him. It's just dumb. And then not only
Psylocke though, but you have just an abundance,
yeah, hundreds of characters,
of mutants characters that you can pull from.
Yep,
and they use none of them.
No,
here. None of them. No. Fucking dreadlock guy.
Yeah, dreadlock guy.
Seriously,
like when he first started fighting,
and then just like, here's generic mutant number 2.
Yeah,
here's generic mutant number 3. We don't know what they do, but they're fighting.
Like when he first started fighting, like I saw like these whips coming out of him. I was like, oh my god! I was like, oh my god! Is he Omega Red? And I was like, oh, it's his hair.
It's his hair.
Fuck you. That's,
I deemed him Deadlock.
Deadlock, nice. I just don't understand, like, the Fox movies wonder why they can't compete with the Marvel movies. It's because they will not fully embrace the IP.
It's like they weren't even trying.
Yeah, they weren't even trying. It's like, I don't know. I mean, and then the other thing is, too, is like, well, I read a report, recently that Matthew Vaughn, who directed First Class, he was supposed to direct Days of Future Past, but what he wanted to do is he wanted to do a movie in the middle and then have Days of Future Past be the last one of the trilogy, which would have made more sense.
Better, yeah.
But the problem I had with his thing was that he wanted to cast a younger Wolverine, which makes no sense because Wolverine doesn't age.
Right. If any of them are going to be recast, that would be the wrong one.
Right, that would be the wrong one to do. Yeah. But I like the idea of doing Days of Future Past last, because that's perfect, because that would have been the perfect capper to the X-Men thing. No, they decided to make 2 more fucking movies, and they're 2 shitty movies. Dark Phoenix is not good. The cast does their best with the shit that they're given. I like the kids that play the. I mean, Sophie Turner actually did a really good job.
Oh, the acting was great. Nothing wrong.
From the trailer, I thought she was going to be terrible, but she does a good job. Ty Sheridan does a good job. Fassbender and McAvoy are always great. Jennifer Lawrence doesn't want to be there. That's clear.
well, she wasn't for half of it.
She wasn't, yeah. Yeah, she dies. The trailer already gave it away, but she dies in the middle.
She takes the place of Scott.
Basically,
as the big death
from Last Stand. Yeah. And then I really like Alexandra Shipp as Storm, but they give her nothing to do.
Oh no!
And it's such a shame.
And she is really great.
She's really. I mean, the accent's good. Everything's really good. She looks the part. It's just they just gave her nothing.
She walks in and walks out.
Yeah, I feel. Well, I mean, so bad, you know,
they
her.
Had her fighting with her Thunder and Lightning. Whatever. But whatever.
I mean, Storm is.
Well, the problem is they tried to do it with Holly Berry, but. I don't know why they backpedaled here, but Storm has always been like a leader.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
and this character is such a she's just there.
Yeah, she's just there, and that's what she was in Apocalypse too.
Yeah,
she's just there,
and they tried to make Holly Berry like the leader, the teacher.
In the third one, they really tried to make her the leader once Scott was gone.
But it didn't. That was just had its own problems.
Yeah.
But why they didn't really do that here, I guess maybe they just thought too many leaders, I guess. I don't know.
It, you know, I mean, because Storm in the 80s led the X-Men. She was the leader of the X-Men.
I laughed out fucking loud when they had Charles Walking.
Ah. Yeah, at one point, Jean uses her powers to make Charles walk, and it's so stupid.
It's so dumb.
Yeah, this movie was just bad. It was just a bad movie, and there was no cohesion to the scene. Like, it's like I said, there were a couple good scenes here and there, but there was no cohesion to it, and it just didn't feel like it. Just felt like a bunch of scenes just thrown at the screen. Now we just saw a report that popped up that said they wanted to do it in two movies, but Fox was adamant against it.
And that we'll never know. I mean, would that have made it better? Who knows?
It might have. It's
like we said going out. There were some fun or cool scenes,
right?
But they did not make a story.
No, they didn't. The movie as a whole is not good.
Like the encounter between Jean and Magneto was awesome.
Yeah.
Like when he confronts her. Yeah. I wish that had been longer scene actually.
Yeah.
But that was awesome.
Which one? In the house?
Sorry, in the house.
In the house, not on the island. Yeah.
Sorry, on the island. Now, that was stupid. That scene on the island, if you want to call it an island, it's not really an island.
I think it was.
Was it an actual island? Yeah. Okay, all right. Because they need a helicopter to get there.
Right.
Okay. But that scene, well, now how does she get there then?
She flies.
Oh, yeah, she flies. That's right. She helped in this problem.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, she can fly? Oh, okay.
No, he uses her telekinesis to fly.
Yeah, no. That should have been kind of a poignant scene, but it became more of a just to get the plot going from A to B.
Right. Yeah.
There was no real stir of emotion there.
The other thing is that we don't even know these characters. We don't know Jean. We don't know Scott. We don't, because they were, you know, they were in Apocalypse and they were like whatever. I mean, they couldn't decide what they wanted these last movies to be about. Did they want it to be about these characters? Is it still about fucking Charles Xavier and Magneto? Still. You know, it's like, you know, make up your minds. And then the other thing is, too, is like, yeah, she kills Mystique. But to be honest, Mystique is only a huge character in these movies because Jennifer Lawrence got big. You know, because she did First Class, and then literally Hunger Games came out the next year, and then her popularity exploded. And that's the only reason why Mystique is a big character in these movies.
Yeah.
She had a key role in the comic book version of Days of Future Past. But she's not the main character.
And to be fair, they did create a good character there, like with an arc and a story. So I don't fault that.
Right.
But you're right.
But yeah, she clearly didn't want to be there. But other than that, I mean, Jean doesn't kill anybody.
There's nothing to see.
Yeah, she kills a bunch of nobodies. There's
no fucking carnage or anything.
She kills a bunch of nobodies, and it's not even like
on like, if you're going to create a movie and literally call it Dark Phoenix, make that shit dark.
Yeah.
Make her evil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, she should have wiped out a city or something like that.
Yeah.
But whatever. This movie sucks.
Yeah.
Don't go see it. Go see Avengers again instead.
Please do. Now let's talk about something that doesn't suck.
Let's talk about something that doesn't suck. Good Omens premiered on Amazon Prime on the 31st? 31st.
Last weekend.
Yeah. You watched it then.
Yeah.
I was at a wedding, so I couldn't. And I watched it this weekend. And a lot of the reviews were I mean, it ended up eking out to be better, to like be mostly positive reviews, I think.
Yeah, so it started out very real positive.
It actually started out very mediocre.
No, I'm talking about way early on. Okay. There was like when they had like 5 reviews.
Oh, okay.
It was like, oh, this is great. Yeah. And then right before the show came out, yeah, all of a sudden it started getting very middle of the road reviews.
Yeah.
It evened out, and I can see why it went.
Well, it's very well. It's based on a novel. It's based on a novel written by Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett.
Yeah.
And Terry Pratchett has since passed away, unfortunately. And his dying wish, basically, according to Neil Gaiman, was that he wanted Good Omens to become a TV series, or you know, to be adapted on the screen. And so Neil Gaiman basically made it his mission to get it adapted, and he is the showrunner on this. He wrote the adaptation and everything like that. So it's all on Neil Gaiman, basically, and it's good. It's really funny. It's funny. It's cute. Michael Sheen plays Aziraphale. Aziraphale, the angel,
mm-hmm.
And David Tennant plays Crowley, the demon, and they've basically been on Earth since Crowley.
No, remember he changed it.
Yeah,
it was Crowley. It was Crowley, and then he's like, "What is it now?" Crowley.
Oh, I'll have to get used to that. Crowley, the demon played by David Tennant, and they've basically been around since the Garden of Eden, and they have basically been canceling each other out and trying to tip the scales for heaven and hell. And in the course of time, they've become very good friends, basically. Yeah. Neither will really admit it because they can't.
Right.
But they become...
Oh, Crowley more so than...
Yeah, right. Because he needs to be pious.
Right.
But the thing that really comes through is that they both enjoy living on Earth.
Right.
And they don't really care about the war between heaven and hell anymore because they're just more interested in, you know, just observing humanity and living their lives. Yeah. And then what happens is that the Antichrist is born.
Not so much born as...
Well, sent to Earth.
Sent
to Earth from Satan. And then there's a comedy of errors with the baby.
Yeah.
And basically they lose... To make a long story short, they lose track.
For 12 years, they're tracking the wrong child.
Right, they lose track of which baby it is. And basically, Aziraphale and Crowley want to stop...
Yeah, even Armageddon. Before that, they've kind of decided they want to try to stop it.
Because they want to stay on Earth, and they like the humans, and they like Earth and stuff like that. I don't want to spoil anything else really about it.
I mean, the one undeniable thing is those two, their chemistry on screen.
They're fantastic together.
Fucking awesome.
I mean, they're fantastic together. But it's got a really great cast.
I think David Tennant, I'm a little biased, I guess, but he steals the show. I mean, he is.
Well, he has the showier role because he's the devil. He's flashy. He's a demon. But Michael Sheen is fucking hilarious.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's so funny. Frances McDormand has a voiceover role.
Yeah, shit.
Sam Taylor Buck plays Adam. And
Gabriel is John
Hamm, and he's basically Aziraphale's boss.
He's basically like middle a business
management.
Guy.
Yeah, he's like middle management.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's his boss.
He's trying to crunch the numbers and get everything to work.
Jack Whitehall plays Newton Pulsifer, who is a witch hunter. And Michael McKean plays Shadwell, who is his mentor.
Yeah, there was one episode here that was really weird. Like, it felt it was still funny, but it felt like a almost like a side episode to the whole thing.
Was it the second one?
I think it was the second one.
I think that's the one where I fell asleep and took a nap. But I still stuck with that, and I didn't read
the book clearly.
Neither did I.
But the end was slightly anticlimactic for me. I understand why it was. I mean, that's kind of the point,
right? Right. Because it's more about them than it is about the.
Yes, it was a buddy movie,
right? Yeah.
But it was still a little. easy, I guess.
The twist, it was. The twist was funny though.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, Adria Arjona is Anathema Device, who is a witch, and she's good in this. I like her in this a lot. Miranda Richardson's in this as well.
What's his face is in this? You know, good old what's his face?
Yeah, that guy. Brian Cox.
Nope.
Muriel Enos is in this.
Nope. Keep going.
She plays War. Brian Cox is the voice of Death.
The Witch Hunter.
Yeah, Michael McKean.
Michael McKean.
Yeah, I said Michael McKean. Yeah, Michael McKean. Oh, Nick Offerman is in this as well.
Yes.
in a bit part. but it's really good. I really enjoyed it.
It's fun.
It's really funny. Yeah. And it's really built on the chemistry between. It's really built on the chemistry between Sheen and Tennant, and they just knock it out of the park.
Yeah, that casting was spot on.
Oh yeah, yeah. For sure.
Now I guess I shouldn't say that in terms of the novel.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
But in terms of casting for the on-screen chemistry, perfect.
Well, the other thing is too is that Michael Sheen said that. Because Michael Sheen was friends with Neil Gaiman, he was friends with Neil Gaiman before this, and they what they talked about was him actually being
Crowley. Neil Gaiman.
Yeah, no. Was Michael Sheen?
Michael Sheen
Crowley.
Was
yeah,
gonna be Crowley
at first, but then as they were writing and going into it, they're like, no, it works better if he's the angel. And then when they said David Tennant, he was like, oh well, that's just perfect.
Yeah, that is perfect.
Yeah, it was really good, and it's like. I almost am sad that it's...
Grow better!
I'm almost sad that it's just the six episodes, yeah. Because I would like to see the two of them together.
Like, it's
more.
Funny the things he chooses to be a demon about.
Yeah.
It's really funny. Because it, you know, it's got a little bit of melancholy in there, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even he mentions once, you know, like, I didn't want to be a demon.
Yeah.
I didn't. You're just hanging out with their own crowd.
It's the Terry Pratchett side of it. It's very Hitchhiker's Guide.
This is just like a Douglas Adams. I mean, the pacing and the story is a lot like when they adapted Dirks Gently.
Mm-hmm.
BBC adapted Dirks Gently, mm-hmm. which was really funny.
But yeah, definitely check out Good Omens. It's on Amazon Prime, and
it's good.
You should watch that instead of going to see Dark Phoenix.
You should definitely do that
because Dark Phoenix is terrible.
Better
make Fox
better
pay
use of your time,
even though they're owned by Disney now. Make Fox pay. Show them that it's good that this merger happened. So now that we can get. The true X-Men in 10 years, probably, I guess. Thanks a lot. Sorry, Hugh Jackman. Or as James Corden calls him, Huge Jackman. And that'll do it for this episode of the podcast, Hodgepodge Podcast. Next episode, I'm sure we'll be talking about... We got to do our Game of Thrones episode with... We got to get Andre up in here.
You need to do your Game
of Thrones episode. Yeah, I know. I got to text Andre. Get him up in here.
If you want me to be the naysayer to everything
that you guys say. No, because then the episode will be 4 hours long. But next episode, I guess we'll probably be discussing... I mean, are we going to see Men in Black? I don't know. I want to see... You know what I'm saying? I want to see Late Night is supposed to come out this weekend.
I thought that came out last
weekend. It came out last weekend in limited release, but it's wide this week. Oh, okay. And that's Mindy Kaling's new movie.
But I thought it was out in a theater here.
I don't think... It might be at the Rialto, maybe. But that's Mindy Kaling's new movie with Emma Thompson, where she Mindy Kaling plays a late night TV writer, and Emma Thompson's the host. And it's getting great reviews.
It's fiction, because that doesn't exist.
Wow, Samantha Bee.
Fiction.
Okay, and then Men in Black comes out this weekend as well, international, with the Thor duo of Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth.
Something else comes out too.
Shaft.
Wasn't there? Was there a horror movie that comes out?
Dead Don't Die.
Dead Don't Die
is supposed to come
out
too.
That's right.
So big weekend for movies. I'll probably be going to see Avengers. So that'll do it for this episode of the Hot Cross Podcast. We'll see you next time, folks.